Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets FX Week Ahead podcast with Lee Hardman, currency analyst at MUFG. It's Friday, 9th September 2022, and joining Lee to pose some questions on the financial market themes for the week ahead is Reza Nazahi, Vice President of the Japanese Client Sales Group for EMEA in London. The following podcast is intended for professional investors and eligible counterparties only, and not for retail clients. Any content should not be regarded as an offer to conduct investment business or an investment recommendation, but for information purposes only.
Hi Lee, on what is a sad and somber day given the passing of Her Majesty, Queen Elizabeth II, may God rest her soul. Lee, it has certainly been a volatile week with a number of significant developments, from the appointment of Liz Truss as Prime Minister and her subsequent energy rescue package, to central bank action from the likes of the European Central Bank and the Reserve Bank of Australia, amongst others, as well as a plethora of comments from central bankers, including Lagarde and Powell. We've seen some significant moves in the financial markets. I mean, cable hitting levels not seen since the 80s, dollar yen hitting over the 144 handle for the first time since 1998, 10-year yields on UK bonds hitting over 3%, not seen since the financial crisis, the dollar index hitting fresh year-to-date highs, etc. Interestingly, however, the greenback has fallen back sharply in recent days. What do you think are the main drivers behind this move?
Yeah, hi Reza. Yeah, and it's certainly been a volatile week in the FX market, like you said, with the dollar certainly ending the week on a weaker footing. And yeah, we think there are a number of reasons why we have seen this pullback for the dollar. Firstly, I think the move has a lot to do with what's happening in terms of developments over in Japan. Certainly over the last couple of days, we have seen a significant kind of ratcheting up of concern from Japanese policymakers over the recent sharp pace of yen depreciation. Like you mentioned, dollar yen has jumped very quickly after breaking above 140 up to the 145 level on Wednesday, and certainly making a lot of quick progress towards the highs from back in 1998, just above the 147 level. So that has certainly increased concern amongst Japanese policymakers that this move is kind of out of line with fundamentals and could be driven by speculative factors. And they're sending a clear signal now to market participants that if this pace of yen weakness continues going forward, that they are prepared to act. So understandably, market participants have become certainly more nervous over some form of policy action to try and support the yen, whether that's some form of intervention to purchase the yen for the first time since back in 1998, and or whether the BOJ could come under more pressure from the government to adjust their current loose policy settings. Certainly, I think most people in the market and ourselves would put down one of the kind of key reasons why the yen is trading at such weak levels right now is down to the fact that the BOJ is running this yield curve control policy. So if the BOJ was to obviously adjust that policy setting in some way, that could help to remove the downward pressure that we've seen on the yen. At this stage, we don't think that we're likely to see the BOJ tighten policy or the BOJ or Japan intervening in the market. But obviously, we need to be more wary of these risks in the short term now. And I think ultimately that whether the BOJ backs up these, whether the Japanese policymakers back this up, these comments with policy action will be crucial going forward. If we don't see any policy action, then we expect the upward trend for dollar yen to resume. Admittedly, that the pace of the weakening that we're seeing in the yen may slow going forward, but we still think that the fundamental drivers remain supportive for a higher dollar yen right now. As we're seeing, central banks outside of Japan are becoming increasingly more hawkish in terms of their policy stance. The Fed again this week reiterating that they still have a lot more work to do in terms of raising rates quickly to get them up to more restrictive territory. And the ECB as well, as we've heard this week, they delivered a record rate hike of 75 basis points. And the policy guidance they delivered as well was also very hawkish, sending a clear signal to market participants that they will continue to deliver larger rate hikes at upcoming meetings, and they want to get that policy rate up, we think, towards 2%. So with the BOJ still very much in a mode of keeping loose policy in place, that kind of policy divergence story could quickly come back and support dolly and upside from here if we see no action from policymakers in Japan.
In terms of Liz Truss, I mean, she's obviously made quite a big impact since becoming a new prime minister. The energy relief package was much bigger than expected. Whilst the package will provide some relief, there's also been a little bit of scepticism and concern, particularly since the UK already runs a budgets and current account deficit. And given ultimately, greater amounts of public funding, essentially means greater gilt supply and therefore greater pressure on sovereign risk in the pound. What are your thoughts on the implications for Bank of England policy and also the outlook for sterling?
Yeah, I think you make a good point there, Reza. I think if we look at the kind of initial reaction in the FX market, it has been mixed. I think when the reports first came out, this bigger fiscal stimulus package, energy support package, markets initially saw the pound try to stage a kind of relief rally on the back of it. But since then, most of those kind of initial gains have quickly reversed course. So there's still certainly a lot of uncertainty in the market over the implications. When we look at the measures that have been announced, kind of think there are some kind of clear macro implications. One being that it should help to ease stagflation risks in the UK. We think the energy price cap freeze is important, particularly for households going forward over the next couple of years. It will certainly reduce the risk of a sharper slowdown / kind of recession risk in the UK as we go into the kind of winter period and into early next year, because this energy price cap is going to mean that households are not going to take the same kind of hit to their incomes that was feared before the policy was announced. On top of that as well, it should also help ease near-term inflation pressures. It had been feared that inflation could rise above 15% up towards 20% based on the sharp rise we saw in gas prices over the summer period. But obviously now that link between wholesale prices and what households will pay for their energy bills has been broken by this energy price cap freeze. And it will mean ultimately that now inflation is going to peak at lower levels than expected. Obviously, the Bank of England was looking for a peak in inflation later this year at just over 13%. And it's now looking that the peak will come in somewhat lower than that forecast. And then as we go into next year as well, we're also expecting inflation to be significantly lower on average than was anticipated previously. So potentially it could be down to, say, 5% more quickly next year as well. So all in all, I think that's obviously encouraging news for the Bank of England in the short term. It should remove some of the fears that elevated inflation will become more embedded in expectations in the economy, which is good news for the Bank of England. And I think we'll take some of the kind of more immediate pressure off them to kind of act more forcefully by delivering even larger rate hikes in the coming months. But obviously, the Bank of England also has to take into consideration as well, what are the potential implications for inflation further down the line in the medium term, so to speak. And on that side of things, I think the Bank of England, like many economists like ourselves, will see the potential for some pickup in inflation risks because of this big fiscal stimulus package. Obviously, if growth doesn't slow as much as expected, that means there's likely to be less spare capacity in the economy than the Bank of England had been projecting. And that would mean that some of the inflation projections further down the road potentially will need to be raised by the Bank of England. And that will make them certainly more wary over inflation kind of being more persistent over the kind of medium to longer term. And to us, the kind of implications for the Bank of England from that will be that we still feel that the Bank of England will want to continue to raise rates going forward. We're looking for a 50 basis point hike at the next Bank of England meeting. And we do think that they'll continue to raise rates like other central banks, like the ECB and the Fed, going into next year as they want to get rates up to more restrictive levels, closer to certainly above 3% in the UK. So on that side of things, we think that markets will still anticipate that rates in the UK will need to be higher. But we think compared to where the market's pricing in Bank of England policy rate expectations, we think the market is probably overdoing expectations. We don't think the Bank of England will be raising the policy rate as high as the market's currently thinking, over 4%. So there could be some disappointment on that side of things over the next 3 to 6 months if the Bank of England doesn't raise rates quite as aggressively as the market is currently anticipating. And then finally, in terms of the potential implications for the pound, on that side of things, again, we're relatively kind of cautious over the pound outlook in the short term still. Like certainly from a kind of cyclical point of view, I think the outlook for the UK economy, like I said, is improving because this stimulus package will mean that we don't see such a sharp slowdown going forward for the UK economy. And at the same time, like I said, the risk of even more elevated inflation is now reduced. So those kind of stagflation risks have certainly been revised down because of this package. And normally speaking, that would be, I think, supportive for the pound. It should certainly take some of the downward pressure on the pound that we've seen over the last kind of 3 to 4 months. So that in itself on its own would potentially help to lift the pound. But like you said, Reza, I think it's also important to take into consideration as well structural factors, not just the cyclical story. And on that side of things, we still think that the pound is vulnerable in the short term because of the UK's twin deficits. The UK relies on the kindness of strangers, so to speak, to fund this sizable current account deficit in the UK. And at the moment, if we look at kind of broader financial conditions, we're still seeing financial conditions globally are tightening because of what central banks are doing in terms of raising rates. Investors are becoming more risk averse because of fears over a sharper slowdown in global growth. And in that kind of environment, it makes it more difficult for countries which are running large current account deficits like the UK to find that financing that they need. And that in itself will keep downward pressure on the pound. So even if the cyclical story is improving, we're still cautious right now about recommending putting on long pound positions, given that external environment is still very challenging. And that situation as well could be worsened by this fiscal package if we do see this big fiscal stimulus coming through, which reportedly could cost up to 150 billion sterling, which obviously the government looks like they're going to finance through extra issuing more government debt. That I think as well could certainly challenge confidence in the health of the UK finances and also the health of the pound. So it is difficult at this point to really be bullish on the pound. We still prefer to keep a kind of bearish outlook for now, but certainly think there is some potential further down the road that the pound could recover if some of the cyclical improvement starts to come through.
Great. So I guess, you know, normally an improving cyclical outlook and higher rates would encourage a stronger pound, but structural problems from twin deficits remain a concern as financing conditions tighten, which is what you're ultimately saying. Lee, as always, extremely informative. Thank you so very much.
Thanks, Reza.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review and subscribe, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for more information. Come back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.